Welcome to Belfast City Vineyard, where we are pursuing formation in the presence of Jesus, community gathered around him, and the impact he empowers us to bring in our families, city, and the world. The following message was given at one of our Sunday services. For more information, visit our website at belfastcityvineyard.com.
Well, how are you? Good August?
Good.
Doesn't look like it.
Good.
I guess not. Moving on. It's great to be back with you after a couple weeks away. Welcome to Fleming Fulton and to the Vineyard. If it's your first Sunday again, really, really welcome. Love to meet you after and connect with you. Welcome to September. I don't know if you're feeling like me. I didn't feel like I got a vote on how fast this is going. And September's upon us. And I need a seatbelt, I think. But I do hope you've had a good summer and some rest. A couple quick things from me. Firstly, we're a church that believes that God speaks to us today, certainly speaks to us through his word. We spend a lot of time studying the Bible and preaching from the Bible. We also believe in the gifts of the Spirit, and one of the gifts of the Spirit is the gift of prophecy, and that God does speak to people for people, and we see plenty of evidence for that in the scriptures, and we've been developing that gift as a community, and so our prophetic team, we give space to it every couple of Sundays, and this is one of those Sundays, so a prophetic team is ready, willing, and able. After the service, they'll be over here on the other side of the hall, and they'll be there if you would like prophetic ministry and ask someone to stand with you and hear from God on your behalf. They are there and ready and would absolutely love to do that. The prayer ministry team is also here. So if you have any need, physical, emotional, spiritual, and you want somebody to stand with you and pray with you or respond to something that happened during the service and someone to just pray with you, they will be here as well. So just want to let you know that's happening. It'll be right at the end of the service, and please do take advantage of that. Well, today we are kicking off a sermon series. I'm going to do a brief introduction to the sermon series, and the sermon series is on courage. Courage is something that God has been speaking to me about, and many of us about, and it's what we're going to be focusing in on for the rest of the year and well into the new year. If you know anything about me, you know I like sermon series, and the longer the better. So we might finish this one when, you know, my grandchildren arrive or something like that, but it probably won't be quite that long, but we're going to take time and dig into courage, being a courageous people. And in fact, if you asked me, what is the Spirit of God saying, not just to our church, but to the church in Northern Ireland? I would say he's saying courage. Take courage. It's time for courage. I by no means think that we need to talk about courage because we don't have any. I think BCV is a courageous church, and you are a courageous people. I could point to any number of you in this room that individually you have shown outrageous courage and currently do that. And I would also point to us as a body and the things that God has done in and through us, that we as a body, we as the family of Jesus called the Vineyard in Belfast have been courageous. We've pioneered things in this city and beyond that God has asked of us. That takes immense courage. So I don't want to talk about it for endless weeks because we don't have any courage. I actually want to talk about it because we've done well and because he's asking more of us. And he's saying, you have done well and now it's time for more. And that is really, really good news. In the kingdom of God, those who are faithful get more. Just read the parable of the talents. That's how it works. God gives to his servants, and the ones that are faithful receive more. And I guess what I'm trying to say to you is you have been faithful in big ways and small ways, and now Jesus is giving you more. But we need more levels of courage to receive and do what he's asking of us. So to me, it's really, really exciting and daunting all at the same time. Why do this? Well, I think we're going to get more, but also we all have at least one thing in our lives right now that requires courage. And more than likely, you have many things happening in your life right now that really require courage. And if you don't have anything right now in your life that requires courage, it's probably coming this week. So It's one of the things that unites us. In a room this size, it's hard to have lots in common. That's one thing we all have in common. We all have at least something that we're facing that we need courage for. You may be facing something in your work environment. You may be facing something in your marriage. You may be facing something with friends or your family. There might be something that's in an area of personal growth that right now the Spirit of God is just tapping you and saying, it's time to grow. It's time to forgive. It's time to do this thing, and that's going to require courage. You might be under immense stress and pressure right now. You might be moving through grief and loss. You might be stepping out in risk in a significant area. You might be in a season of confrontation. You might be in a season of expansion. You might be in a season where you're trying to figure out, how do I finish well? You might be in a season where you're trying to figure out, how do I have courage to stay the course when everyone around me seems to be walking away? We all need courage in some area. And the good news is, courage is available, and it's a fairly constant theme in the Scriptures. Well, we're all facing something. That's what I just talked about. We need courage, and we need to talk about it because the times are growing darker. I don't want to dwell on this too much and just lean into negativity and things like that, but we do live in difficult and complex times. You know, Northern Ireland is no stranger to difficult and complex times, right? And even now, today, we face great uncertainty and anxiety. And all you need to know that that's true, is look at a news website or watch the television news, or just, you know, look around our city and you can see the stress and anxiety. We find ourselves in the midst of seismic regional and national and even global change and uncertainty around a variety of fronts. And our city itself, it's just facing extraordinarily difficult times. We have a lack of government involvement, and lack of decision making is absolutely wreaking havoc. And it contributes greatly to just an out-of-control feeling. Just this past Wednesday, I was in the office, and my office window looks out on Writer's Square, and was having a chat with staff on how has summer been since I was on a little holiday to America, and we just were talking about how we can't remember a summer that has been worse for kind of craziness and drug abuse and just looking out and seeing people in absolute disarray. And our staff teams have had to phone the ambulance service a number of times. There's fairly constant drug abuse happening in broad daylight, wide open in our city. On Wednesday, I was writing a bit of this talk, actually, and looked out my window because there was quite a commotion. And there was simultaneously a drug deal, people dancing naked, and a few other crazy things happening all at the same time, which was like, wow. And then I oftentimes have told you in sermons, jump on the glider to get home. I glide home or crawl home, one of the two. And on my way from the office to the glider, I counted 10 people who were out cold in our city center. I mean out cold due to alcohol or drug abuse and just covering all parts of our city. And we've been in contact with, you know, the emergency services and the people that keep our city safe, our partners that help us seek flourishing of this city. And we're finding men and women in despair and hopelessness that we are just facing big things in our city, and times are getting darker. Not to mention that for the first time in living memory, Christians are seen to be part of the problem, really. I don't know if you've been feeling this kind of pressure, growing pressure. You know, in years past, there was a pressure to be a Christian, or at least to put on a Christian show. And now, living as a faithful follower of Jesus, pursuing holiness and his best, actually is way more countercultural, and it's growing ever more so. Probably feeling that in different environments you're in. We do have a ways to go before we can look the persecuted church in the face, but we now live in a day when identifying as a Christian is getting uncomfortable and hard to navigate, and I believe one of the words of the Lord to us is it's time for courage, and we shouldn't be surprised because Jesus said, I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble. Thank you very much. But take heart, I have overcome the world. John Wimber kind of riffed on this passage and said this: the good news is Jesus is praying for us. The bad news is we're going to need it. So the times are getting darker, and it's time for courage. But moving swiftly along, because I don't want to dwell on negativity, the darker the times, the more we can shine. We can shine brighter. So it's time for courage. We're not going to approach this sermon series from the place of fear or poor us or circle the wagons, or we're just going to quit and hope for the best. The world may be growing darker and more complex, but that is historically when the church has actually been at its best. When it is a subversive, countercultural, compelling, feisty minority. If you read the New Testament at all, that is the context of the early church. And what God is calling us to in this day will require courage. And that is, again, really good news, because it means what he's calling us to is significant. It's worthwhile. It's powerful. You don't need courage to go to Tesco's. You need courage to do things in your own life, in your work environments, in your family, in your city, in your school that matter. Things that matter. Things that have impact. Things that bring the change of Jesus to real life and death situations. You need courage to steward a legacy that others benefit from long after we are gone. We're called to things that are going to cause us to shine brightly, because Jesus and his way is visible in and through you. I believe that when people think of Christians, they should think of a courageous people. They should think of people who are willing to risk and willing to dream and hold out for God's best and to sacrifice for others, knowing that the hand of the Lord is upon them. I believe we should be the most courageous people because we know Jesus and we know his Holy Spirit is in us and empowering us. That we know that he's given us the resources of his grace, his mercy, his joy, and even his power. And we know that our present and our futures are secure in Jesus forever. I'm on holidays, and I went back to my kind of hometown, really small town, and not a lot of light pollution there. And in the deep darkness, the stars shine incredibly bright, don't they? You know, stars are really hard to see in the daytime, and they're really hard to see at dusk. But the darker the night sky, the brighter the stars shine. And they're absolutely stunning. It's time for us to shine. It's time for the church to have courage and to shine brightly. It's not a time for fear, although our challenges are great. It's a time for courage. Again, Jesus is inviting us into more. Many of you, Jesus is tapping you on the shoulder in this season, saying, I'm sending you. I've got this for you. You're it. You're on. There's nobody else. It's going to be you. And you know what? To be honest, lots of us, me sometimes included, we're having a Gideon response, which is when the angel of the Lord visited him, he was hiding. And he was saying, I think you've got the wrong address. But actually, the Spirit of God is expecting us not to have a Gideon response. He's expecting us to have a David response. And he's reminding us that in the past, we have killed the lion and the bear. And so now, this Philistine in front of us will be absolutely no problem. It's time. For some of you, it's time in work. For some of you, it's time in your marriage and in your family. Some of you, it's time with your kids. It's time with those whom you love the most. For some of you, it's time right here in BCV. For some of you, it's time in our city to say, Jesus, I'm here. I'll do what I know you are asking of me, to lead, to serve, to bless, to grow, to forgive, to confront, to repent, to learn, to risk, whatever it takes. It's time to remember that you have some training in this era. You have shown courage before. In fact, Jesus has led you through an awful lot. Many times and many places, he has been with you. He has strengthened you. He's been forming you. He's been preparing you for the things that he is now calling you to. And he is shaping us all as a community into a more, even more courageous community. So here's some things I think that we are going to find in this sermon series over the weeks and months. We're actually going to move through the Bible, and we're going to look at different characters and events in God's story, which gives us a chance to do two things. It gives us a chance to look at different characters and different events through the lens of courage, but it actually gives us a chance to live in the scriptures and to not just kind of flit around, but to kind of move through them, which we love to do here in this community. We're going to see some of the most powerful and formational moments in the history of God's people, and we're going to linger in the scriptures over time, looking specifically at how normal, everyday men and women encountered the living God, faced their fears, and had access to courage, and saw the legacy of God passed on through them to others. A few themes that we'll encounter, and I've got these in the form of questions. We're going to discover, what if courage is formed in us? Lots of us believe that courage comes in one big moment. There'll be this one big courage moment that's going to be required of us that we're saving our biggest yes for. Well, the truth is, courage and the life of courage that God invites us into isn't quite like that. It's actually formed in us over time in the countless small decisions every single day that Jesus brings across our path. Lots of us also think that we just aren't courageous. We're not like that. I'm not like you or not like him or not like her in the Bible or whatever, and I'll never be that. I'm just not courageous. And so we never face our fears and we never live out our callings. Again, I just don't believe that that's true, because courage is formational. We're going to see that we grow by training in courage, not trying to be courageous. We're just going to have to take our everyday opportunities to train in courage. David started by killing the lion and then the bear, and then Goliath wasn't a problem. The apostles started by leaving their nets and then ended up changing the world in training with Jesus. What if courage is something that's formed in us? What if it's usually right where we are? Most of us, what we need courage for is right here where we are, live and local, and we're already in the midst of us. Now, some of us will go and plant a church, or we'll move to a new city. Maybe we'll go and we'll take a risk and we'll start a business, or we'll move to another continent, or we'll make an impact for Jesus. But the vast majority of us are called to significant courage right here where we are. And we all have something right in front of us right now that we need courage for. And we're going to see that it is way more often in the everyday ordinary people and the moments that God invites us to join with him in and courageously participate in his kingdom. We're going to see that. It's right where we are. What if courage is found in his presence? We're going to see that what grounds us in courage is encountering his presence. Time after time in the scriptures, men and women encountered the living God and then went and did the impossible. If we want courage, it's found in his presence. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them. For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. That's Deuteronomy chapter 31, 6. And that theme just is repeated over and over again. As men and women are called to go do incredible things for God, he promises to be with them. Courage is found in his presence. Or might look to Proverbs 14, 26. Whoever fears the Lord has a secure fortress, that he's with them, and for their children it will be a refuge. I found this in actually the Passion Translation this week. Confidence and strength flood the hearts of the lovers of God who live in awe of him, and their devotion provides their children with a place of shelter and security. That's an amen right there. That's a good one. It's found in his presence. We're going to be challenged to increase our time in worship. We're going to be challenged to increase our time in prayer, in the scriptures, seeking his face, as we sang about earlier this morning. What if courage is found in his community? We're going to see over and over again the people of God always at their best when they're united together in community, and men and women calling them back from just spreading out and going their own way. We're going to be challenged to remain in community even when it's costly to us. The life group terms are open, as Alan said. Serving teams are open. There's a couple of courses. There's just so many opportunities to connect in community. And if you feel like, you know what, that's a step I haven't taken yet, then I would just really encourage you to sign up for a life group or to sign up for one of the courses being offered or get connected in community, because there's courage found in community. What if courage is found in obedience? It's really striking to me over and over again in both the Old and New Testaments as I was thinking through this sermon series, is the amount of times where men and women, when they need courage, it's about obedience to the calling of God on their lives, and then obedience when it comes to holiness and purity. The more they lean into their calling and the more they lean into obedience in the terms of holiness and purity, the closer God is to them and the more courage they have. When Moses is at the burning bush, God's about to call him to lead the nation. And the first thing he tells him is, take your sandals off. This is holy ground. Holiness and obedience to calling are hugely important in the life of courage. It's going to be a challenge to us. It's going to be a challenge. Are we going to be faithful? And then lastly, we're just going to find out that courage and the life of courage is just always challenged. It's always challenged. And I hate that. I hate that. But it's true. You know, the people in the scriptures, most of the time, they don't feel ready, and they're very happy to tell angels, apostles, and God himself that they're not ready to do whatever he's asking them to do. They never feel ready. And we probably don't feel ready either. We don't feel like we can. We don't feel like we have the strength. Or we feel like we're actually at the end of ourselves. The enemy always challenges those who seek to follow Jesus with courage and conviction and to obey him and to walk in holiness and purity. That's just part of life in the kingdom of God. The good news is God is with his people and he is with us. So prepare this autumn to allow courage to be formed in you. Prepare this autumn to learn an awful lot about God and what he has for you and the legacy that he's preparing for you. Prepare to face some giants that are right in front of you, some of which have bullied us for far too long. Prepare to be strengthened in God's presence and in God's community. Prepare for impact. Prepare for legacy building as we step out in ordinary, courageous lives wherever he's planted us. So from next Sunday, we're just going to jump right in and go for courage, and we're going to start with the life of Abraham and Sarah. So we're going to go for it. So I hope you're excited about that.
Thanks for listening to this message. For all the latest information about what's happening in the life of our church, or if you have any questions or comments, head over to BelfastCityVineyard.com.